You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
If you look for it, every day has cause for celebration. Celebrate a friend for their promotion, baby, wedding, life thing. Celebrate yourself for keeping the couch warm. It's no easy feat, especially if it's a big couch. Or maybe you just want to celebrate living in 2023, where you can get beer, wine, and spirits delivered from Drizzly in under 60 minutes without leaving said couch. So download the Drizzly app or go to drizzly.com. That's DRIZLY.com and get your favorite drinks delivered today.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Once again, this is Pat Prince, editor of Goldmine.
And the snippet you just heard is J.W. Francis, a track called Is That the One? It's an artist featured on a Vinyl Moon compilation.
And this episode, we'll talk to Brandon Bogowitz of Vinyl Moon. Vinyl Moon, of course, is a vinyl subscription service, and you're not going to find commercial corporate rooms type stuff on these vinyl record compilations you'll get every month from Vinyl Moon. The music is very honest and it's very art driven, and the entire album is curated to turn you on to independent artists that are just getting their feet wet. So you'll be turned on to specific songs from these artists, just like a cassette mixtape you would get back in the good old days in the 80s. The thing is, a cassette mixtape can't give you the same experience that a piece of vinyl can though. This is more of an interactive experience. Brandon is he's the guy who will be making the mixtape for you. And Brandon also hires some of the best graphic artists to design the album covers, the gatefolds, everything. I mean, you got to see it to believe it. It's a work of art, something that will be hard to, you won't even want to play the album sometimes. You just want to put it on the shelf and keep it because it's like a work of art. So this is for vinyl heads and vinyl geeks who fully appreciate the vinyl experience and understand vinyl at its fundamental source, an interactive thing, and become a listener who's ready to explore an eclectic field of music, too, from all over the globe. It's multinational music. I mean, I'm mostly a guitar rock guy, but I like all kinds of music. So you'll find music from all over the world. It could be rock, it could be pop, it could be indie rock, and you'll get to appreciate all that on vinyl, on what vinyl can deliver. Brandon, the man who created this subscription service, he's the curator every month. Like I said, he's almost like the guy making the cassette tape for you. He has a note, too, that he gives with each album explaining how each edition evolved and why he picked these songs. Because he gets many different bands sending him material all the time to be put on these albums. You know, I know what I'm going to get when I put on the new Paul McCartney album. And I love that, too. But I don't know what I'm going to get here. And I like that it surprises me. I like the surprise and I like the challenge of that. And I love wondering what the new art will bring, what this vinyl is encased in. It's like a discovery every month of vinyl experience. You know, vinyl subscriptions can be weird, where they try to figure you out, what your listening tastes are, like a strong service, kind of like how Pandora does it. I'd rather be surprised. I want a guy like Brandon to curate it for me, and then I have to pick through it what I like and enjoy the whole experience of it. So we're going to talk to Brandon. We're going to talk about the Vinyl Moon subscription service and what it all means and how it all works. So stick around. I'll be right back after this message.
Hey, I'm Ronald Webb, and this is Patrick Prince.
And together we host the Goldmine Radio Hour, the show that features the latest issue of Goldmine,
the music collector's magazine. Tune in Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on CygnusRadio.com.
Brandon?
Yeah, Patrick.
First, I want to get a little background on you before I start asking more about Vinyl Moon.
You know, I grew up in Los Angeles and went to the East Coast for college, and then kind of, you know, bounced around a bit. I was a film major. I thought maybe I wanted to work in movies because, you know, I had some family that worked in film. It seemed like a familiar industry, but I always loved music. I, you know, growing up, I always made mixtapes, like, you know, old school mix cassette.
Yeah.
Tape, you know, dubbing, and would go to Kinko's and, you know, make color photocopies and, you know, cut them out and glue stick and make the J cards. And,
that's,
you know,
cool.
Had a couple like, you know, runs of mixtapes that, you know, I would pass out or sell for a couple bucks to donations to friends. And it was always just a passion of mine, but I didn't really, you know of it at any way to make a career out of it. At the time, it just seemed like radio DJ was the only dream I had. So I think, in college, in high school, I always dreamed of being a radio DJ, but pretty quickly you learn, like, that's not quite what it's cut out to be these days.
Right.
You know, well, you're more of a major label, you know, top 40 hit pusher as opposed to
right.
Creative curator.
Now, well, you become even better than a DJ. You're a curator. And I thought I was freaky. I used to do the same thing, make cassette mix tapes. And then I used to actually paint on them like a little canvas.
Oh, nice.
So that's why I love what you're doing here, that, you know, all you're doing with art visually and interactively and the music itself and the piece of vinyl itself. Now, you promote Vinyl Moon's vinyl subscription service as the planet's most unique vinyl experience. There are two words here that I want to emphasize. The planet, because you pick artists from all over the globe, and
yeah.
Unique. Maybe you can elaborate on that word as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, to me, Vinyl Moon was created out of a personal sort of lack. You know, when I first started getting deeper into vinyl, I subscribed to a bunch of record clubs just because I've always loved clubs. I mean, I grew up in the era of BMG and Columbia House.
Yes.
And just, you know, loved getting stuff in the mail. And so when I started getting into vinyl, I was like, great, yeah, let's join a club. Like, let's have someone else pick something for me. Like, always love a good recommendation, love a good club, love getting home and finding something in the mailbox. Who doesn't? And, but none of the clubs really clicked with me. And it just felt like, okay, great, you've chosen an album. You know, so many clubs are album of the month clubs. It's like, great, you just picked an album that already exists. is not unique. I could buy that album anywhere. You've just not pointed to it, which is great. I mean, I love a good recommendation, but you know, if you're going to be shelling out that kind of money every month, I felt that oftentimes it just wasn't for me. I didn't scratch my itch. And that's kind of where the idea for Vinyl Moon came about. I said, I wish it'd be so great if somebody, you know, took all these new songs from new artists and up and coming bands and put them together on a mixtape vinyl. Like, that would be a cool thing if somebody did. And then that's when the light bulb went off and it was like, oh man, I might be half qualified to do this. I better see what I can do. But that, you know, that thought and that kind of coming at the idea of a vinyl club from that angle, you know, is still unique. And to be honest, I thought that there would be more imitators or, you know, other companies that would come up along the way. But I think 5 years in, I've grown to see that it's probably just because no one else is dumb enough to try it. And so, more power to them. Because it is a complicated thing. It's a complicated thing to make. It's a complicated thing to explain. And to, yes. But nonetheless, I think it's also its superpower that it is so unique. There's nothing else like it. You know, people always say, well, who are your competitors? It's like, well, I don't know. I mean, there's other companies that will mail you vinyl, but it's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And the thing I love is the artwork is so interactive. It reminds me of what I loved, you know, even starting out when I collected vinyl as a kid. You know, like Led Zeppelin 3 with the spinning wheel, or Physical Graffiti mm-hmm. with the sliding images in the window of a tenement building, a photo in New York City. And I love that you're, not only is your artwork great from these different graphic artists, you have three things going for you. You got the music, the artwork of the album, and, well, four, the vinyl itself is a piece of art. And then it's interactive. Which I love. You have everything from, you know, cutouts to, I think one was like a newspaper clipping or map. It's pretty interesting how it gets interactive like that. Was that your plan all along?
Well, it wasn't until it was. I think at the very beginning I knew I wanted to have, you know, a mixtape of music. And so I thought, okay, great. Like the 10 songs from 10 different bands, that makes sense. Well, what's the jacket going to be? What's the art going to be? And I didn't know right away. I thought, well, should it be, you know, this, should it be that? I'm not really a designer. I don't really make it. So the idea of partnering with visual artists kind of came about very naturally, in a sense of like, I need help with this. I can't design the artwork, but there's definitely great artists out there. Let me see if I can, you know, get their help, collaborate with them. And once that, you know, kind of seed got planted, it really snowballed into like, okay, wow, we can do so much creative stuff here. We can really go over the top. And, you know, so very early on, once the idea of partnering with visual artists came about, it really became clear that it made sense to make this maximalist and really go big. You know, that really tied into another thing I was noticing as I was, you know, getting records, is so often I felt like the vinyl I was getting was not designed for vinyl. It was an afterthought.
Yes.
You can often tell like, okay, this was designed for CD and they just blew it up. You know, the typeface of the track list is just massive. It takes up the whole back cover. You've got no sort of engaging visuals. It's the, you know, the era of CD size design just blown up to vinyl. And, that felt like a missed opportunity when you've got this great medium, this great canvas, yeah, all this room for art and visuals and engagement. You can hold it, you can touch it, you can turn it over. And I was feeling like, you know, there was room to innovate and do something creative in there. And that's where it was like, all right, every month I want this to, I kind of joked that I want every month's Vinyl Moon to have at least two or three oh shit moments where you open it and you're like, oh shit. And then you like open it again and you're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And you do this, oh shit. And it's just this kind of like layers of experience. And, you know, that you touch it. Some of the Vinyl Moon records are a bit intrusive and a bit annoying. And, you know, like we've done a 5-panel gatefold that folds out to be about 6 feet wide. And it's really difficult to hold. And we got complaints about that. People saying, this was really frustrating. I had to like clear off my whole coffee table just to open it. Like, this is, this is an annoying experience. And I said, great, then we did something right, because you'll never forget it. You know,
I agree. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
It's almost like here you had the age of iTunes, right? So of course you want to create something that's the complete opposite, that's so tangible, that's so interactive, that's so informative, as well as the music itself, you know?
Yeah.
When you buy an iTunes, and I say this all the time, it's like so bare minimum. And it's nice, you know, music is... That's the main thing, but you don't know who the musicians are a lot of times. You don't know what the guest artists are. Where is this band from? What is the theme of the album? You know nothing. And the artwork is a little, you know, this little thumbnail. You can hardly see. So it's it was frustrating going through that, and that's why I think vinyl came back. People missed the experience of music as well as just the music itself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that word experience, you know, kind of touches on another word from the website that you're mentioning, you know, planets or unique vinyl experience. And that's a key word for how I think about Vinyl Moon, is that it's an experience. But because in general, all vinyl listening is an experience when you compare it to what I would propose is the opposite end of the spectrum, which would be convenience. You know, streaming is convenient, and it's great. I absolutely love that we have this opportunity to live in a time when you can stream music and discover things so easily. But yeah, I think, like you said, vinyl came back because people still want the experience. You know, and I think we're seeing that more and more now when people are stuck at home and we don't have the live music experience. We don't have the record store experience in the same way because of COVID. People are like, well, yeah, the vinyl experience is maybe one of the only, if not the best, music experiences going at the moment, because it is that experience. It's the opposite of convenience. It's an experience, but that's what makes it meaningful. You know, that old adage that sometimes people don't, you know, care about things unless it's difficult or it costs money or whatever. You know, free is taken for granted, whereas, you know, once you got to cough up a couple bucks and it's heavy and it's fragile and you got to move it with you, you know, any vinyl lover that's ever moved knows that experience. And it's like, you know, these are now things you really care about because you've had to deal with them, you know, through thick and thin, good and bad. You know, that's the vinyl sort of marriage almost.
That's a good point. Yeah. And I was going to say, these, as far as like actually listening and interacting with it, these are also collectible. Some albums, you know, I buy two of, you know, one that I collect and never open, and the other one, which, you know, I play to death, you know. So those are usually my favorite pieces, but you have a limited amount of number that you press, right, of each Vinyl Moon vinyl record?
Yeah, we do. You know, I think early on I kind of made this choice to press a little bit more than we had members. You know, there was kind of two ways of thinking about it. One was press only in as many as you have members and have it only be available to the people who are members at that moment. And that, you know, creates a kind of exclusivity and makes it, you know, if you're either in or you're out. But I thought, you know, it would be nice to have a couple extras just in case people, ever want to get them down the line, you know. And I think that I'm really glad that I made that, you know, uninformed early decision, because that's been a great part of people coming along now 5 years later and being able to, like you did, reach back and discover, you know, some of the old records.
Right.
And sure, they're not as exclusive and limited as they maybe could have been.
Right.
But I like that it's available to people. I mean, if anything, now we maybe have too much availability. Over 5 years, we've got 60 records, and you know, a handful are sold out. But still, I feel bad for someone coming to the Vinyl Moon website now and trying to just choose one record to buy, because there's so many to choose from, and you know, choice is overwhelming sometimes. Which, again, is the whole spirit of Vinyl Moon. You don't have to choose. You just sit back, make yourself a cocktail. We'll send you a record. And whenever it gets in the mail, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to click on anything. You don't have to wonder if the algorithm did you wrong or, you know, which one of a million albums you want to listen to. It's a little vacation for your music selecting
brain, right.
You know.
Right.
Just kick back. We got you tonight.
And it is a... the music is very eclectic. You choose a lot of different genres. So I think it is important that the listener does have an eclectic ear. Is there other genres that you want to explore? Say jazz, punk, heavy metal. Are there other genres that you want to include in here?
I think always. I'm always looking to discover new stuff and broad stuff.
Yes.
I think, you know, it is always this writing this fine line between wanting to push the envelope, but also not venture into genres that I really don't know. You know, I think from day one, people have always said, oh, this is a great idea. You should do a version for heavy metal, or you should do a version for country. And it's like, I agree that those versions should exist, but I don't think I'm the person to curate them. It's just not my, you know, I'd be out of my element and be like, it would feel inappropriate for me to be like, well, these are the great new heavy metal tracks. Like, I don't know that world. Someone who knows that world should be recommending and curating those songs. And so I'm always interested in exploring, but, you know, wary of what fits in the Vinyl Moon mood, and also what do I have a remote right to point my finger at and be like, yeah, this is a good one.
Right. Well, the graphic art matches the music. I mean, it, as far as being experimental and diverse, so it kind of follows the same pattern. How explain this whole process to me, because it's got to be very intricate, because you got to pick the music artists, and then I would imagine you pick the visual artists according to what the music sort of sounds like thematically or to your ear. Yep. And then, of course, you have to, after the artist, you have to think about how are we going to make this, I think you said it yourself, oh shit moments. How are you going to create those? So maybe you can, and then of course you got to produce this thing far out enough to meet deadlines for the monthly subscribers. So it's like a production line, really. I know, because I do the same with magazines, but
absolutely. You understand it well, and you know that, you know, people probably ask you, well, you know, how do you make one whole magazine per month or per quarter per, and it's like, no, it doesn't work like that. At any given moment, you're working on 3, 4, or 5
exactly,
seven, you know, simultaneously at various stages of production. But yeah, you basically outlined the process, you know, very well. I think, you know, step one is finding great songs. And, you know, my first foray into the music industry proper was I started a music blog about 12 years ago called The Burning Ear. And that was just a hobby, someplace that I figured, you know, I've always loved recommending music. Well, and I put it on a website. And then when my friends ask me what they should listen to, I can just point them to a URL and, you know, this is the future. Use the internet. But the blog took off, and I found that I really loved, you know, writing about music and sharing it with this, you know, newfound audience of strangers who were interested in the, you know, music and words and, you know, the joys of blogs, which feel so far away, so long ago at this point, but weren't that long ago. So that same process of hunting for new music, you know, been around. I've been doing that for years, and that is a similar process for Vinyl Moon, you know, listening to lots and lots of music that I don't connect with so that I can find those few, you know, gems that I feel really click with me and I feel deserve a bigger audience. This is a song I want more people to hear. So that's that process, gathering songs, reaching out to the bands, reaching out to the labels, getting them on board, getting all the clearances and all the assets and all that's step one. So gathering tracks. That's just an ongoing process, always gathering great tracks. And then from the pool of tracks, we'll put together something that feels cohesive. So, you know, oftentimes a pool of, you know, 20 or 30 tracks will start sort of speaking to me and saying, oh, these songs would fit interesting together. Or this is an interesting, this song and this song don't necessarily work together, but you could connect them with an arc between A, B, C, D, and, you know, get there over the course of the side and, you know, start playing with mood and tone and energy of a record. And that process is you know, I'm part art, part science, but, you know, really fun to put together oftentimes, as you said, eclectic songs that maybe on paper wouldn't make sense, but you can get there. You can, you know, you can have a folk song and a indie rock song and a hip hop song all on the same record, mm-hmm. you know, if with the right kind of flow that it all makes sense. And that's really fun. And kind of, again, speaking to what you were saying about, you know, eclectic and varied taste, that's a big goal of mine, is to
yes.
not have each record be one genre, mm-hmm. but to be sort of genreless in a handful of genres and be more about when you might want to put it on. You know, okay, this record is a higher energy record, and that might be higher energy songs from a variety of genres, but they're all kind of higher energy. So you put it on when you want to, you know, bop around the house and you need some pick-me-up mood.
Right.
This is a more of a mellow record, and again, might be a variety of genres, but it's got a more sort of mellow or introspective spirit to it. And people often say, well, what genres are the records? I don't know. What are genres anyway these days?
I'm the same way. I just like music for music's sake. You know, I can't explain why a song necessarily hits me or is good for me. You know, it just is. And I don't want to define myself by putting, you know, I mean, we did maybe as kids, like, I only like this, you know, or that, to be in a certain club or clique. But now I like everything. It has to hit me. The song itself. And like, I liked how you do this in your intro letters. You include in every, I know it was included in the albums I had, you have a little intro to maybe the theme of the compilation or the mixtape, as you call it. One I had was called the Love Stack album. Mm-hmm. And you explain why, you know, about the mood of love and how we need more of it in the world. I thought that was a nice touch by you as the curator explaining, you know, how the album evolved creatively.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that started at the beginning and just felt like it is in, you know, each record is, there's a lot going on. There's art, there's music, and wanted to kind of, you know, welcome people. I call them the welcome note. You know, it's sort of the intro letter. It's your way into this world. You know, there's a world that's been hopefully created with the music and the art, and this is the, you know, the bouncer at the front door giving you a little, you know, little speech. You know, keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle, and here's a little bit of background about the ride. You know,
yeah. That's good. I like that. So I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit, and can you pick a band, an artist that gave you that wow moment that you were talking about before? If you could recall any, or I know you have a lot of them, so I know there's a big track list to choose from.
I mean, one that just popped to mind in this moment is the Saxophones. The band called the Saxophones, and we had the song of theirs called If You're on the Water.
Yeah.
And from volume 16. And, you know, at the time, that is really, really mellow song. But it was just one of those ones that strikes a chord and is a really beautiful, emotional track. And
right.
I was very excited to, you know, be able to put that. I think it was the first song they put out, or it was on their very first EP. And, you know, so that was very exciting. I remember at the time being like, yes, we got this Saxophones track. It's going to be on Vinyl Moon.
The flame burned my hand. I kicked my leg. You took my hand. If you're on the water, 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 be clear. If you're on the water, water, water.
They've gone on to put out two albums and a handful of EPs and seven inches, and so it's been great to see that evolve and see them, you know, sort of doing well and putting out more music that people are really excited about. You know, we carry their records in our online shop as well, and so that's an example of an exciting song that I was really meant a lot to me when I first heard it, and has gone on to mean a lot to other people over the years. And but then there are, there's also songs that I've been really excited about that, the band actually only put out that one song and then they broke up or went their separate ways. And it's funny sometimes when you feature these songs on Vinyl Moon, and I think to some people they might think, that's too bad. The band didn't do anything. Like they weren't really worth anything. They didn't amount to much. But I think of it as what a cool opportunity to take. It's great. The song was great nonetheless. The band may have broken up or, whatever happened, but where else would this song get put on vinyl? You know, the band didn't do anything after that song. And so I love being able to take these great tracks. They're great in their own right. It doesn't matter if the band didn't go on to do anything else and kind of immortalize it on a vinyl record. It wouldn't normally happen. I know you asked about some specific names. My memory is
my favorite was great. Something I sampled off your January 2019 disc, which was called "Life Is Long," and it was a band called Filthy Kitsch. I haven't looked them up yet to hear more of their stuff, but they had a song called "Comet Tales."
And yeah.
The song reminds me of like a atmospheric T-Rex song, and it's very catchy to me and, catchy rock and roll. And I like that about this band, Filthy Kitsch. And I'm going to have to Google them and see if I can find out more music.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love... So this is a great example. I love that you brought up this specific example, because just for illustration purposes, I looked them up on Spotify. Mm. They have 29 monthly listeners on Spotify. Mm. So about as low as you can have, about as unknown as you can be in the music world these days with 29 monthly listeners. And that's exactly the kind of band that I love being able to put on Vinyl Moon, because I think if you would encounter this band in a streaming context or, come across their profile, seeing that number, 29 monthly listeners, we all have preconceived notions about what that means or what, what an artist, this song has less than 2,000 plays on Spotify. Right. Like, okay, they're nobody. They're not doing anything yet. And even if we don't intellectually think that or agree with that sentiment, right. I think over the years, just the nature of the digital streaming interface, when you're on SoundCloud or on Spotify, you're given numbers, right? It's social media anywhere. How many likes, how many listens, how many months?
I agree. Yeah.
And so there's a subconscious, I think, judgment that goes into that for all of us. And I love putting together the Vinyl Moon records where I can, behind the scenes, I can see, okay, this song has 3 million plays on Spotify, and I'm putting it back to back with a song that has 1,000 plays. So they are, unequal in the digital world, but this vinyl record is a fair playing field. No one knows which one's which, and they all get a fair shot at becoming someone's favorite, And so you were able to listen to "Life Is Long" and have perhaps, probably the most unknown track of the record stand out as your favorite. And, I think that it's a different experience when you're streaming versus having this, I don't want to say pure. I'm not here to make judgment calls, but just unadulterated by data and analytics and all of that stuff that is just part of the digital world we live in.
And for these very, well put together discs or vinyl records you get every month, the pricing seems very fair, very reasonable. Of course, you have three different types of pricing. One where you could try it out one where it's monthly and one yearly. And you also say there are some member perks and discounts. Maybe you can explain what you would get as a perk or a discount.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, anyone can go to the our website and the vinylmoon.co and, you know, buy an older volume or buy some of the records from alumni like the saxophone. But if you become a member, you know, and actually join the club and sign up to get these mystery records in the mailbox and kind of, you know, take the plunge, we want to, you know, incentivize that and say, okay, you're on the team, you're in the club. And so we have members get a 15% discount to anything in the shop. So that's just an automatic discount. Mm. When you're a member, just everything is cheaper. Life is better in general when you're a member, but also things are cheaper. So one of those perks. And then you have the opportunity to have combined shipping. Because we're shipping you a box every month anyway, you can have the things you buy in the shop just get put in that monthly box and save some money on shipping. I mean, I know anyone who's a vinyl collector who shops online knows the, you know, the shipping plight. Okay, it's a $20 record, but now it's another $5 for shipping.
Yes.
Oh, great. I found a good deal on Discogs. This one's only $10, but it's also another $5 for shipping. So
yes.
The fact that, you know, in general, when you buy music online, we're all of us are spending probably 25% of that online budget on shipping. And
correct.
I want to support USPS as much as the next guy, don't get me wrong. But if there's a way we can combine that shipping and save a couple bucks, then
right.
I think that goes a long way. And so those are the kinds of, and then, you know, we have, of course, I've got a laundry list of things I would love to be able to do for members going forward, because it is a community. It's great to, over the years, have members that I know their names. They've been around forever, and we can chat with them on Instagram or on Facebook. And I love the community side of it. And, you know, always, it's fun to think of ways that we can make this even feel even more community-like, especially nowadays when we're all stuck at home more often and, you know, looking to connect with our communities.
Yeah, I agree. And the thing I like about it is that you have free shipping for a member. And I think you put it best. You can't underestimate how good that is. But lastly, I want to ask you about, okay, this is your 5-year anniversary, correct? Vinyl Moon is 5 years old. And as a business, what have you learned in that time? I'm sure there's been ups and downs, and what you would try to improve going forward.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, God, what have I learned? How many hours do you have?
Yes.
I was like, you know, the little kid that like wandered out of the candy store and into the NASA Aeronautics Engineering department.
That's the fun of it.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. If I didn't throw myself in, into the deep end, you know, who was? And so, yeah, learned a ton. I mean, I think what's been really interesting, I think, is the things I wasn't expecting to learn. You know, I kind of went into Vinyl Moon wanting to create this thing with music, and the art, as we talked about earlier, the art was like kind of solving a problem. Well, we need something. Let's work with these artists. And I think that's turned out to be really remarkably rewarding. And you know, as you mentioned, a really core part of the Vinyl Moon sort of spirit and experience is the artwork. And so along that line, I've definitely learned to embrace the happy accidents. You know, embrace the creative energy of others. And, you know, Vinyl Moon is certainly, it's a small company, it's a small project. You know, I'm curating the music, I'm art directing the art. But
right.
I've definitely learned over the years to get out of my own way as much as possible and let, you know, these creative people run with it. There's been times where visual artists have come up with something that, you know, I don't know, I didn't quite get it at first. And I thought, okay, I don't know, I guess it's okay. You know, but it wasn't speaking to me in that moment. And, you know, then that record will go on to be someone's favorite. And, you know, you get that feedback in email or online. Oh, I love this artwork, is my number one, and this is my all-time favorite. And that happened really early on and was a really good lesson for me to maybe not try to be so, I don't know, forceful or nitpicky with my personal opinion, because music is subjective, art is subjective. The experiences, you know, we all experience these things in different ways. And so, you know, really leaning into that idea of giving the visual artist creative freedom and, you know, guide, being more of a spirit guide as opposed to an iron-fisted control freak.
Yes.
which can certainly flare up in me at times, but okay, this is great. This is a creative individual that has a vision. Let's run with it. And that's been very rewarding over the years. And then the community. I think I knew I wanted to create this thing, but didn't anticipate the kind of experience that it would turn into for people.
Right.
You know, we just recently had the 5-year anniversary, and I reached out to a handful of VIP members who've been part of Vinyl Moon for over a year. That's our VIP program. And just asked them a couple questions, like, what did Vinyl Moon mean to you? You know, what's the experience that you, what do you do every month when you get it? Just a couple quick check-in questions, wanted to get a sense of their experience and see if there was any, you know, reviews we could use in talking about Vinyl Moon for our 5th birthday. A lot of the responses I got were really sweet and heartwarming, and, you know, people touched on the welcome note that you said and how much that means to them reading it to start every month. And, you know, hearing from couples that, you know, were married couples that, whoever gets home first and gets Vinyl Moon has to wait for the other person to get home, and then we make a drink and we listen to it together. You know, a mom that was telling me she listens to it with her 2-year-old, but she's been a member since before that her daughter was born. So, you know, her daughter, from the moment she was born, has grown up with Vinyl Moon every month now till she's 2, and, you know, listens to it and dances along with it. And I mean, what an honor to be able to be part of, you know, people's traditions and routines and in their homes. I mean, that's just like, that really blew me away to hear those stories of Vinyl Moon being woven into, people's monthly experiences. And
that was a
surprise.
I love how I only have a small sample size of records from Vinyl Moon, but what I loved is that you're so hands-on. You know, I feel like this is the movie High Fidelity, and you're the curator, you're making a mixtape, and you're making it just for me. And that's kind of how I feel, because you wrote a little letter telling me why you put all this together and what it meant to you. That's the part I'd love the most, besides all the interactive stuff and the art and the music and the vinyl itself being a piece of art. That's what I love. And, you know, keep on keeping on and keep pushing the envelope, man. I appreciate what you do as a vinyl lover. So thank you, Brandon, for taking the time to be on the podcast, man. And
thank you, Patrick. Sincerely, it's been an honor. I appreciate those kind words so much and the support. I mean, that's what I aim to do every month. And so the fact that it's resonating with you, it means a lot to hear. It's huge. Sometimes, you know, make these things in the little warehouse cave and send them out into the world, and you don't know what happens once it leaves your hands. You know, it's like sending a child off to college. You hope they're okay. You know, they call every once in a while.
That's great, man. That's a great analogy. All right. Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Patrick.
We'll keep in touch. Thank you now.
Absolutely.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.
Go to vinylmoon.co. That's not .com. It's .co. Vinylmoon.co. Anyway, check it out and see if it's for you. It'll be nice to experience it. I'm telling you, I'm enjoying my albums from Vinyl Moon. Okay, this is Patrick Prince, editor of Goldmine Magazine, and we'll see you next time on the Goldmine Podcast. Don't forget to go to Books A Million or Barnes & Noble and pick up the latest print issue, and go to goldminemag.com for exclusive content and get 68% off the subscription price there. So thank you very much, and we'll see you soon, listeners. Take care.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.